Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of The Game Train. This time, episode 25. My name's Carl Smith. I've got Callan here with me.
Hello, I'm Callan Davison.
Rock and roll. This time we're going to be looking at the Need for Speed Payback. We'll be looking finally back at a whole bunch of the SNES classic Kirby titles that we've been avoiding lately for some reason.
I still managed to avoid it.
Well done. We've got a bunch of fun, you know, coming up with our questions this time, and a decent backtrack, and I hear we've got an interesting closing fact, but before all that, let's just jump in with the news. PlayStation has announced that the online multiplayer on PS4 will be free to play this week. From Wednesday, November 15th, until Monday, November 20th, you'll be able to play every PS4 game online without signing up to a monthly or yearly PlayStation Plus subscription, so get your cheap-ass friends on board and make that happen.
After a huge backlash, including the most downvoted comment on Reddit in the site's history, which totaled over 500,000 downvotes, EA is reducing the cost of hero unlocks in Battlefront 2 by 75%. Now, for a bit of comparison here, the previous most downvoted comment was from someone that asked to be downvoted.
Nice. The company 2K expects 2019 fiscal year, which I believe starts on March 2018 and ends in March 2019, to be a record year for net bookings and net cash thanks to the release of Red Dead Redemption 2 and, as quoted, a highly anticipated new title from one of their biggest franchises. I'm guessing Borderlands, but we'll see what happens.
EA is to acquire Respawn, which is the developer of the Titanfall series. Also, there is more Titanfall games in the works. A new Star Wars game and VR games are also coming.
In a statement that has gamers a little riled up, Take-Two Interactive CEO Strauss Zelnick has said, we've said that we aim to have recurrent consumer spending opportunities for every title that we put out at this company. It may not always be an online model. It probably won't always be a virtual currency model, but there will be some ability to engage in an ongoing basis with our titles after release across the board. And he speaks of this on behalf of 2K, and I mean, recurrent consumer spending opportunities sounds like just a little bit of a code word for microtransactions. So, yeah, not sure about that one.
The studio behind PUBG has unveiled a new MMO called Ascent Infinite Realm. It's going to be set in a high fantasy steampunk world. There is going to be realm versus realm PvP. There are going to be mechs and anti-air artillery, massive air battles, and five classes amongst other things.
Nice. The streaming service Hulu has been added to the Switch in the US, which is great news for fans who've been waiting for streaming services like Netflix and Stan over here, because although only Hulu is available now and only in the US, it's a sign of the times that it shouldn't be long until other apps like Netflix make their way onto the device, even here in Australia, which will make the Switch an even more powerful entertainment gadget.
Illumination Entertainment, the movie studio behind Despicable Me, Minions, and The Secret Life of Pets, is in talks with Nintendo to develop an animated Super Mario Bros. Film.
Doom and Rocket League are out now on the Switch.
Disney has shut down Marvel Heroes.
Injustice 2's Fighter Pack 3 has been revealed, and along with the Atom and Enchantress, they surprised everyone with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, not one but all four playable as a single character. Speculations on how they will play are open. As for when we'll be getting the fighters, Atom is set to premiere on December 12th and will be followed by Enchantress in January and the Ninja Turtles in February.
Noctis from Final Fantasy XV is coming to Tekken 7 as a fighter.
And with that, that is the news.
Boom.
Cool. All right, that brings us straight into the games we've been playing, so I'm going to just quickly get this done.
Yes.
And start with our SNES Classic Mini continuation. This week, Kirby Superstar.
All right, Kirby.
Last time we did, what was it, Kirby's Dream Course?
Yep.
Which is like a kind of weird, golfy, dreamy game, but this time, Kirby Superstar is not one, not two or three, but eight mini games all in one big sort of package, and some of these games are quite big. So let me just smash them. Did you play any of them?
I played one that's a platformer.
Cool, you played one of the three platformers?
Yeah, I don't know which one it was. It was when I opened the game, and the first one that was there, I selected it and went.
Nice, that was probably Spring Breeze.
Okay.
Spring Breeze is the classic, charming, beautiful Kirby. It's got the short levels, boss fights, it's got the copy mechanic.
Yeah, it felt like the old Kirby game I used to play. I loved it. I was like, this is great. It could have just been this and I would have been happy.
Yep. And I think I'm very happy. I actually overall really love this whole package. So the Spring Breeze one, which is, just the classic Kirby. It's so pretty still. It holds up really well. The sprites have held up really well. They're really big and pretty and clear, crisp. The level itself is very visually striking. Kirby always has been. It's got like really big, almost 3D blocky environments. It's very fun to play in. Really solid controls. That copy mechanic is just immensely satisfying still. You know, it really reminds me of Super Mario Odyssey now, like throwing the hat. I'm sure it was inspired, but, you capture an enemy, you become it, you learn its powers. But not just that, but they have, like, once you become one of the enemies and learn its powers, you press pause and there's whole move sets for each and every one of them. Like, you become the fighter guy, this, like, up Y does an uppercut, forward does, like, you throw fireballs, but if you tap forward twice, you do a different move. And like if you become the cutter that throws knives, you can do different combos or like move sets that make you do like super moves. It's pretty full on. Okay, the next game, Dynablade, same side-scrolling classic Kirby again. But this time, it seems to be like some sort of Dynablade is some big bird stealing crops or something, and it's got like a Super Mario World type overworld map that you jump from level to level. I couldn't really tell a huge difference besides that, except that there's no real sort of boss fights, and the levels have a lot more verticality. There's a lot more up and down. Next was Gourmet Race, which is like a speed running type game. There was three short side scrolling levels, and you just learn the best run, get the best time, don't get stuck. There's little bits of water that slow you down, but besides that, it's the same again, same graphics, same Kirby game. After that was my favorite, which is the Great Cave Offensive, and it's the same Kirby platforming again, but this time with treasure hunting. It plays really well. It's got a weird, like, Dark Souls-type level setup where you start again every time you die, but you create shortcuts to get to certain spots of the level much quicker, if that makes any sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So it's not like levels, it's just a huge world. But yeah, kind of like Dark Souls, as you get further, you open a little door and you can quickly just get to that next bit. And you learn the level really well and so on. Same sprites again, but look, kind of more, the background is a lot more 16-bit looking, so a lot more flat, not those sort of big, blocky, almost 3D environments. After that were some smaller games. One was Samurai Kirby, which is really cute. It just starts off as you, Kirby, versing one of the other characters in the game. You're standing like away from each other in like this big field at sunset, and the game just has a timer, and you wait, and at a random time, there'll be an exclamation mark, and as soon as it appears, you have to press a button, kind of like quick draw. And whoever presses the fastest wins. It's a one-hit kill. It's called Samurai Kirby. You have to get as many wins in a row as you can. I got 4 on easy mode. I'm rubbish. And you have to get as quick a reaction time as possible. I got 15. I don't know what they are. Milliseconds or something? It just says 15. It's for 1 to 2 players. So that could be really fun. And that's the whole game. The next game was Megaton Punch, which is a punching mini game, which is a weird cross between golf games and the Test Your Might games from Mortal Kombat. So you both stand on top of this brick, you and another player, and you have to like break the brick, but it depends on your timing of like this pendulum and like power meter. Again, 2 players, and that's the whole game. There was 2 other games, which was Milky Way Wishes and Renegade Meta Knight, which I couldn't play because they seem to be unlockables, and there ain't no way I'm going to spend the time unlocking those, because I have spent already enough time talking about this.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Okay. All right. So, wow. Have you been playing anything else?
I've just been dabbling into Assassin's Creed still. I did my first dream sequence. It was amazing. And I finished Super Mario Odyssey's main story, and I'm now playing the end game of that, and there is a brilliant achievement system in it, which is just very cool. And there's just so many moons. I thought there was many, but when you finish, there's just more. More are sort of unlocked, more are revealed, and then the achievement system puts more on top of that again, and it's really nice to see, because you'll be relieved to know that it's an achievement system that makes you just go throughout all of the worlds again and just do things, but it counts everything you've done up to that point, which means you can get 10 to 20 random moons on the spot, depending on how many of the achievements you've done, which can be things like how many things have you bought from the shop, or how many times have you ground pounded to get a moon, or how much money have you got, how many outfits have you got, how many hats did you buy, different things like that. So yeah, I'm very impressed. Mario Odyssey just keeps impressing me. So yeah, that's about everything I've played besides our review game. How about you?
I played some Battlefront 2.
Oh yeah, well.
Yeah, so I got the early version because the normal version doesn't come out until tomorrow, but I got the early version.
Nice.
So I played a little bit last night, not much. I did one mission in the single player and then played a few multiplayer maps, which I'm terrible at still.
Oh, man, I can't wait to jump in with you.
But you can't, because I'm on PlayStation, you're on Xbox.
Oh, yeah. That's right. But, well, I'll be playing against our media man, Genghis Tuan, and my brothers.
Well, I was playing with another listener, Sean Fullard, who listens to the podcast last night.
Oh, hello, Sean.
So we were having a bit of fun with that, but he was also having issues spotting the enemy as well.
Oh, no. All right.
You know the droids from Star Wars Episode 1?
Yes. Yep.
Which are really cool, but they're that brownie color. Well, we're on a brown sort of level, and because they're so skinny and brown, they just blended in so well.
Oh, so they're the character you want to be.
And we're all stormtroopers, so we're guys in white suits.
Blazing white. Oh, no.
This is a bit unfair, isn't it? I got a few kills, but then we both jumped in ships and we're just shooting ships out of the sky, and that was probably the most fun part.
Oh, nice. I can't wait. Well, definitely a lot more on that next week.
Yes, when we review it. But yeah, I just had a little play of it last night.
Nice.
And so the only other thing I've been playing all week has been Need for Speed. It's been all Need for Speed.
Awesome. And speaking of reviews and Need for Speed, let's get into our feature game, Need for Speed Payback.
We own these streets, Tyler, and the house always wins.
Well, not tonight it didn't.
Alrighty, Need for Speed Payback. It's developed by Ghost Games and published by EA, Electronic Arts. It's on the PS4, Xbox One, and Microsoft Windows. And interestingly, it is the 23rd installment in the Need for Speed series.
That was going to be my first question to test you today, but well done on beating me to the punch.
Ah, well, there you go. There you go. I'm doing my homework. So it's the next in the big popular arcade racing franchise. It's an action arcade open world sort of racer, to loosely use the term. It's like the modern Need for Speed Underground 2, in that it's a whole bunch of the racetracks all sort of joined together. It's pretty cool. It's mostly open world, but it's not like Forza Horizon 3 open world where you can kind of go anywhere you want. You're kind of limited mostly to staying closely to the track. You can't sort of cut along the whole world because there's a few little invisible walls in the middle there. But, it's a lot more fun than I expected, I have to say, first, right off the bat. I have to admit, I went in with semi-low expectations. We didn't want to, but we kind of stumbled on some other reviews before we did our own one, and I was like, ooh, this doesn't sound good. So I reluctantly bought it and went, let's try it anyway. But I've had a lot of fun with it, and it is exactly what I expected from a new Need for Speed.
Well, yeah, it's set in this place called Fortune Valley, which is like a
Vegas
style. Yeah. Yeah, you got Vegas, and you got all the desert environments around that. There's a big Hoover Dam like area as well, etc. It's in the story is tasked with like because it's got a loose story in there, you know. Tied all together.
Yeah, and you know, there's backstabbing and betrayals and Fast and the Furious Need for Speedy type stuff and corny lines, and you know, it's Need for Speed. It's an American sort of corny, fun, silly summer type story. So, you know, don't go in expecting Shakespeare. But the gameplay itself, I found really satisfying. Like, after playing Gran Turismo Sport and Dirt Rally for a while, it was just so nice to jump into just a silly arcade racer where like it goes fast, sort of. It's just immediately satisfying kind of way. There's not as much concentration needed. It's you know, more about just the silliness and the fun, and like it's got its own mechanics. Like drifting was horrendous for a few minutes, but then once you get it, it's like just a big boy's version of the Mario Kart drifting. It's really fun and satisfying to get the points. The drag races are really fun. The graphics are really pretty. You know, I had a lot of fun with all that stuff. Like, just picking up the game in the first couple of hours straight away, my reaction was like, this is a great, fun racing game.
Yeah, I couldn't understand why people were marking it down. I was having a lot of fun with it. You know, I liked that there was, like, a campaign mode in this, unlike Gran Turismo. So I was into that, you know, like, you know, you get a car and you start to upgrade your car and then you put all decals on your car. So I've got some wacky looking pink and green with all stickers all over it. I don't know, it just looks wild. But because every race you'd rock up to, the computer rocks up in like these other flashy looking cars. And mine was just like blue. And I'm like, oh, this is boring. Yeah. So I just went and put as much stuff on the car as I could.
Just
so
whatever sort of you can. Now. Yep.
Yep. And yeah, you know, there's all different types of races. So there's normal on bitumen races, there's off-road races.
Yeah.
Drag racing's back.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
Drift racing, which you spoke about, or drift courses, which you spoke about before, which I destroyed your scores at, by the way, like annihilated you. So
my first course? How'd you go on your first course?
I went okay. I didn't know what I was doing. And then I get this text message, oh, look at me, my first score. And I'm just like, yep, that's cool, buddy. And then I went back and actually figured out how to drift properly and then beat your score in like one drift and went, oh, really, Kyle? That's cool.
All right. I'll have to go back for my second ever turn and see what happens. So,
and then there's like this other sort of, I guess, enforcer mode, which is mostly a lot of cop chases.
Yeah. And you can kind of destroy the cops with those, like, follow the accident camera, like Burnout 3, which is kind of satisfying for the first 10. Then it gets a bit repetitive, but I did really like, you know, pushing them into the sides, and it just felt even, again, more arcadey and silly and fun.
Yep.
You know, but not all happiness and rainbows, unfortunately. There are a few bad points.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I thought it was all right at first, the car upgrade system, right?
Yes.
So, yep. After every race that you win, so if you lose, you don't get one of these, but you get a card. And the speed card, they're called. And there's six different types for six different parts in your car. And then, so that's how you upgrade your car, by just getting better and better cards. And then some have different like perks on them, like extra speed or extra acceleration. And then you can get some that have like speed, acceleration, and like NOS and things like that. So it's like nitros on it. Goes up like that. This is all right. But then I figured out, all right, so every time you get new cards, your car goes up in a rating. So then you got to get your car to a certain rating to be competitive in the races, etc. Otherwise, you just get destroyed.
Yeah, each race has the number sort of listed there to say, like, we recommend you're at this number before you do the race. Which you can be, like, two under, but close-ish.
Yeah, yeah. I normally try and be over, but then you'll finish a race and you'll be, like, 15 under the next one. And you're like, oh, okay, cool, I don't have any cards, so then you have to go grind out some more cards. So now, other ways to get cards, there is shops in the game, which you get credits for each race you do participate in, and you can buy them in the shops, but they're randomly generated every 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So there is no set thing. So you can't be eyeing off like a gearbox with like speed on it, because it could be gone the next time you go there, or it might not be in the shop when you go there if that's what you're after.
Yeah, there's a lot of gambling mechanics within the upgrade system.
And then also on top of these speed cards, you can turn ones that you don't like into these other tokens. And when you get three tokens, it's a slot machine. You're playing a slot machine, and it can come up with different parts in the car. Like, you get one's a sure thing, so you can choose a gearbox, or you can choose that it has speed on it, but the others are all randomized. And then it will roll through, and it will give you a new speed card. And then these ones can then perk up with like three perks on them. Also, you can earn these tokens through leveling up. So every level you get like maybe 3 to 5 tokens that you level up.
Which is the introduction of where the loot boxes play into this game, where every developer is trying to do this at the moment. And games are expensive and they have to find a way to get them paid for. But I hope they come up with something else very soon.
Yeah, it's frustrating because it turns the game into a grind. Like, I have just grinded out this one drift course over and over and over again to just make money and just to level up so I can get tokens, so I can roll more speed cards to push my cars up to the required level each time.
Yeah, you can't buy a new car and go like, all right, I'll just get all these parts that I bought and shove them into this new car.
And that's the frustrating bit, that you can't go, oh, my other car's like got level 15 ones. My new car should be, in my opinion, your new car should be rolling level 15s. It should be based off the average of what your highest car is for that event, and it would fix a lot of these problems immediately.
Yeah, so you can bring your collection up to speed.
Yes, yep.
So you could say there is a slight need for speed in that.
But this is what the whole game is. It turns into this big grind, and where I am up to in the game, I've maxed out my low-level cars. So I've had to go buy new cars which can go over 300 and then start from scratch to grind them up again.
Damn.
And why I have to do this 27 hours into a game is beyond me.
Yeah, that's very true, especially in a racing game. Like, they're really trying to prolong that time, and I guess it's a little bit yucky because it really feels like they're sneakily trying to push you into buying those loot boxes so that you could just level up those cards real quickly.
Well, at 27 hours into a racing game, I should have finished the campaign.
Yes,
campaign
definitely
should have been done. But it's not. I'm 71% through the game.
All those downsides aside, what do you give this game?
This is what I've been struggling with, because I like the game. I've played a lot of the game.
And you're
so
semi-hooked,
fun.
Right?
I'm semi-hooked. I've been playing it so much. As I said, I've played 27 hours of this racing game. Yeah. I'm not a big racing game person, but I've been like loving this. Except for the grind. The grind's killed it for me. The grind has absolutely killed the game for me. Yeah, look, I'm going to give it... just going to give it an 8.
Nice, nice.
I was going to slam it even further, but I enjoy the game too much.
Yeah.
But the grind just sucks the fun out of it for me.
Yeah.
But I've put so much time into it, and I've enjoyed all that time I've been playing it. But yeah, without the grind, I would have given it a lot higher score.
Okay, yep, that's fair. I have to say, I've given it a 7.5 out of 10. It didn't suck me in quite as... I really enjoyed it, like heaps more than I thought I would. But just kind of in small bursts, it didn't quite suck me in. And I think it's possibly because of my previous, you know, I try not to think of it, but my previous Forza Horizon 3 as an open world arcade racer, and then coming to this like years later, I'm thinking, oh, I can't wait to see where open world arcade racers have evolved to. And it's like, oh, feels just a bit of a step backward. And like the graphics and the actual playing is fun and it's beautiful, but I can't help feeling that strange yuckiness that the grind is on purpose to try and pull more money out of me, and I don't really respect that. It's just a bit weird for me. Like, it's like kind of forcing it down there, like you were saying, you know, each car and having to level up, and it takes so long, and you got to do it incrementally from one back up again. And then there's these like convenient loot boxes that give you like, you know, 10, 20 of those little tickets you can use to just continuously I don't know. It all feels just a little bit uneasy for me. So that brings it down quite a bit. And the fact that it's not really open world. I got overexcited and then that got pulled back because it's more like a bunch of joined tracks like Need for Speed Underground 2. And I just feel like we've come so far. It was so close. But yeah, still enjoyed it. I wasn't disappointed or anything. But yeah, 7.5 characters out of 10. And that's Need for Speed Payback. All right, and that brings us to Backtrack, and that's when we go and have a look at this week in the history of games.
What we're going to do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
So what do you got for us this week?
I've got a pretty cool one. Like, last week we went on a bit of a tangent, which was very interesting, but I did start off with saying it was the launch of the Xbox. In 2001. Now, this week I've got on the 15th of November, same day, but the following year, 2002. This one just has to be mentioned. Microsoft launches Xbox Live, which is still regarded as one of the best sort of live console platforms ever. The service requires a broadband internet connection, which is a big, bold move for the first Xbox. Standard features on the original Xbox included a friends list and voice chat. The Xbox 360 would add achievements, which just changed gaming forever. Xbox Live support for the original Xbox was shut off on April 15th, 2010. And in the hours leading up to the shut-off date, this is awesome, I love this story, Halo 2 gamers took to the Xbox Live platform in order to play online for the last time. The shutoff came and went, and Halo 2 games remained ongoing. And Microsoft clarified that they weren't going to boot the players in the existing games, but no new games could be made. So the last of this diehard group would lose this connection nearly a month later. So the guy who started the game just stayed on there, left his Xbox on, and people just went on and on, like, and joined his game continuously. And it was just not going to stop until he turned it off. And sadly, it happened because he had a power outage.
Oh!
Yeah, he was trying to run it as long as he could. It went a month later, and that was the end of the original Xbox Live. It was kind of a beautiful story. Like, it's like heartwarming but tragic. Like, these fans just tried to hold on to Halo 2 as long as they could. They didn't want to see it go, and I'm so impressed that it went a month later. Imagine it could still be going now. Like, because Microsoft promised they weren't going to boot the players. They were just going to leave it there, you know, on that final server. And it was a power outage. Could you imagine the heartbreak?
Yep.
So, that little story is this week's Backtrack. I thought it was a pretty fun one.
Very cool. I like that one. Hey, with the original Xbox Live, was there a subscription for it, or did that come in the 360 era?
That's a wonderful question that I didn't research. I feel like there wasn't, but maybe it was just because I didn't actually get involved until the 360 era, because my internet was way not ready on the first Xbox.
It might have been the 360 era, because... Yeah, it would have been around that time that things were starting to trickle in, like horse armor, etc. Yeah, when gaming started changing in that way. When did the horse armor situation happen?
Man, what do you think I am? Like a Wikipedia man?
Mate, you're Backtrack guy here. Like, I'm waiting for the week when we sit down and you go on blah 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 date. Bethesda launched horse armor.
Well, like, you know what?
I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it now.
I'm hoping it was like the week of your birthday, and that'll be the Backtrack for you. I'll do it for your birthday, mate. Let's see. Fingers crossed. We'll find out. I'll look into that.
All right.
Let's move on to our passenger queries. The question we went with this week is from our good friend Brendan. He says, "Hi, guys. A question for you. One I've often thought about, actually. If you could erase all knowledge of one game from your mind, like a Men in Black flashy thing, allowing you to experience that game for the very first time all over again. Which game would you choose? And he says, in case you were wondering, I'd pick the original Pokemon Blue for Game Boy. The pure joy and wonder of being a kid and exploring that world was an experience like no other. Brendan. So what would you choose, Callan?
Easy, alright. So this would be based off that I wouldn't lose the memories of the other games in the series, right? It's only the one title.
Yeah, I assume.
So I would choose World of Warcraft, but retaining my memories of Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3.
Okay, cool. So you could really...
So I can go back into Azeroth for the first time. And one of my favorite things still from World of Warcraft was exploring the world for the first time. And going, yeah. Oh my gosh, this is this place from the game. Or this is where this is supposed to be. Oh, this is that place that I heard of in the game. Wow, here it is. And just walking around for hours and hours. And just getting lost out in high level zones. And running from high level enemies. But it was just so much fun to just explore. And yeah. With the announcement of the World of Warcraft Classic, I looked at it and went, I'm never going to get that same feeling back that I had when I played it. Like, going to World of Warcraft Classic now, I know where everything is. I know how it all works now. There's none of that discovery and wonder.
Yeah, and so like, that's what this world looks like.
Yeah, so it was like the perfect question for that. That's mine easily.
Nice. Mine... And this one would be, I would like to lose all memory of every game in this series. And I'd love to jump back into Oddworld Abe's Odyssey for the first time again. That world and that game it just blew me away when I first did. I had never seen anything like it. And I still, since, haven't seen anything quite like it besides, you know, within its own universe. But... just the character, the helplessness of Abe was so fresh to me that one thing could kill him, and yet you could overturn this huge factory of evil people and save the slaves and the world, like Oddworld itself. Like you start off in that factory and then you get out and you go into all these, like into the actual world itself, and you discover all these other creatures and how they act and react to you. The art was just like whimsical but gloomy and scary. It was like, I don't know, it was just one of the most unique, impressive gaming worlds and experiences I ever had firsthand. So yeah, I'd love to relive that. Yeah,
cool.
That's my answer to that. Boom. Well, that was a nice, very nice question, Brendan. Thank you. Nice and easy. And that brings us to the end of this episode, which, as always, we have to tie up with our lame train and hype train. So we will start with the lame train. Kellen, how are you feeling?
Yep, EA's loot boxes, straight at you guys, right off the top. Stop it.
Bam. All right, nice
yep,
and quick.
Yeah, you've done it two games in a row. You've done it with Need for Speed, with your grinding, and you've done it a week later with Battlefront 2, and you've had the most downvoted Reddit comment of all time. That's no easy feat. Like, they beat the old one by hundreds of thousands of downvotes, right?
Yeah.
People are sick of it. Stop
it. Yes. And now, to make that worse, my lame train is 2K's statement about adding microtransactions to every game they make from now on. So... EA might get your lame train, but 2K's promise of including some sort of microtransaction, which I feel like loot boxes will be a big part of it, and they're wanting to put it in every game they make from now on. Like, I mean, Borderlands, maybe that might fit, but does that mean Bioshock? Like, come on, guys. All right, hype train, guys. That brings us down to the good part. What is your hype train?
All right, I've just downloaded Ashes Cricket 2017.
It's,
yeah!
Nice.
Yeah, more cricket.
Nice. All right. And mine is just quickly, I'm jealous of you. My hype train is to jump into the world of Battlefront 2.
I thought you were going to say cricket for a second. I was going to go beauty. I'll bowl a few down to you.
Leno. I'm hyped. To play the campaign.
Yep.
You know, I just want to see it. I finally want to jump in there and see what this The game is just so beautiful, and I would love like just a very pretty, short, to the point Star Wars campaign, and I just can't wait. So that's my hype train. So yeah, that's our show. Next week we're going to talk about Battlefront 2 at length, and that'll be our feature game. And before we go, as always, we're going to end it with Callan's closing fact.
Okay. When Space Invaders was released in Japan, it was so popular that it caused a temporary shortage of the 100 yen coin, the coin most commonly used for arcade machines.
So good. So good. So, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. A shortage of a currency because it was so popular? What?
Wow. Why can't that happen with our downloads?
And Australia's broadband network has gone down because Game Train has had a record number of downloads.
Help us make it happen, guys. Let's do it. Let's just change the world right now. Spread the word. Never mind the content. Just do it for fun.
Yeah.
That aside, you know, guys, please leave us a review on iTunes or Podbean. It really helps. And those of you who already have, thank you so much. You guys have been awesome.
Yeah, the iTunes reviews would be fantastic, actually.
Yes. Yeah, those would be great. You know, if you want to ask us a question, www.facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast. Jump on there, say hello, you know, say mean things, whatever you want. But yeah, throw us a question, we'll answer it. We'll pick it out of the hat as one of our passenger queries and have a bit of fun. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
This has been Game Train. See you around.